Muslim story in general?
I have,
well,
and as we go into that, I do have a bunch of interesting, because the Muslim topic.
Yes. Well, yes.
And that, huge that, on the three networks of my three.
That, well, yeah, that's going to come in next. Absolutely. But first we start with Irving, Texas. Irving, Texas is actually is a very big city. It's one of the top 100 cities in America. It's a very racially diverse place. Of note, and this is one of the first few times you'll ever hear me do this, Glenn Beck has a studio there. He lives there, and I actually pulled some interesting, he had some interesting guests on, including the mayor of Irving, Texas.
Oh.
Who is this nice woman, Mayor Van Dyne. Really milfy, actually. And she is well known in the area. First of all, Garland is just a stone's throw away, and there was an actual attack. Whether it was false flag or whatever it was, there were two dudes who apparently were trying to go and shoot up the cartoon drawing contest, provoked or not. But earlier, I think this is 2013 or 2014, there was a problem in the community. The Muslim community, and I will say the devout Sharia Muslim community, had set up a tribunal. And what they were doing is, when instead of going to law enforcement and saying, hey, this person did this or this person did that, even if it wasn't all that relevant to U.S. law, but a lot of it is, of course, certainly when it comes to adultery, which is a divorceable offense in Texas. And she voted in she undersigned a law that specifically stated for Irving, Texas, you know, there can be no alternative courts. You have to adhere to U.S.
law. This was hugely controversial amongst the progressives.
Yes.
Who didn't know that anything was actually going on there, and they just thought it was a preemptive law. And, oh, these people, they're a bunch of bigots.
So here's a quick little flashback to that vote.
Well, Doug, tempers flared here inside City Hall in Irving as council members voted and approved on this resolution right here in support of a House bill that forbids any use of any foreign law. Now, it was a more symbolic vote, but many Muslims who were inside tonight say they feel like they're being targeted and that it further solidifies Islamophobia.
Please vote.
In 5 seconds, the Irving City Council physically will change nothing.
And that motion passes 5-4.
But mentally, for the dozens of Muslims who packed inside City Hall, they say it crushes them.
I think it is the most disgraceful day as a citizen in Irving.
This is one of the community leaders, Muslim community leaders, who's saying that.
Omar Suleiman is talking about is the approved city resolution that supports House Bill 562. The proposed legislation codifies that U.S. and state laws supersede foreign laws.
The elephant in the room is that it's the anti-Sharia bill.
Many Muslims believe it's in reaction to a new Islamic tribunal that was just created in Irving earlier this year. The Muslim judges told us in February it was religious mediation for civil disputes like marriage and not binding.
This bill does not mention at all Muslim, Sharia law, Islam, even religion.
The mayor telling the crowd it's important to recognize the Constitution and unite behind U.S. and Texas laws.
Respect them, obey them, embrace them.
Muslims like Suleiman say it's that rhetoric that furthers the stigma, they say endangers them.
All we can do is we can take it to the ballot box. I mean, we will vote.
Now, state lawmakers in support of this House bill say it should get a reading later this month at a state judicial meeting, but it still has a long road before it sees any votes or is passed into law.
Okay, so that's just a backgrounder, just so you understand that there is reason for people to be a bit nervous in this area, particularly with Garland and with, you know, this whole Sharia law or Sharia court, essentially, they were setting up. Now, Tina the Keeper asked me something a few days ago, and it didn't really register until I was prepping last night. She said, did you see Bill Maher's bit about the clock guy, the clock kid? And I said, no, because I'm not a big fan of Bill Maher. But on the show, and he had some very interesting points. It's crazy. I have to say I'm agreeing with Bill Maher and even worse, Glenn Beck. And he had Mark Cuban on the show. Mark Cuban, of course, quite a figure in the Dallas area, which is right near Irving. And here's what Cuban said, because he had a little chat with the boy.
Right, he's from Dallas, and I've talked to the people in the school district. The kid is a super smart kid, science geek. We talked about science. But while I'm talking to him on the phone, as I ask him a question, tell me what happened, because I'm curious, right? His sister, over his shoulder, you can hear, listening to the question, giving him the answer. So I don't know all the details of what happened, but what I do know, when I talked to him about science, when I talked to him about magnets, when I talked to him about creating things, he was very, very engaged.
So his sister, turns out, is the woman who I thought was just a CARE representative, and she may be a CARE representative, very little known about her, very little to be able to find out. So she was prompting this kid with everything that he was supposed to say, and she was doing the same at that press conference, you recall, we played on the previous show. Now over to Glenn Beck. And he had the mayor of Irving on the show, and with her, some guy who I'm sure is, you know, he's in some kind of think tank, ex-Marine, Jim Hansen. I'm not quite sure who he is, but I picked up this ditty from it.
I don't think there's any question that this latest event was a PR stunt. It was a staged event where someone convinced this kid to bring a device that he didn't build, as you mentioned. It's a Radio Shack clock that he put in a briefcase. And in a briefcase, it looks like a bomb. You know how I know that, Glenn? Because I've built briefcase bombs and blown them up. That's what they look like. So anyone who looked at that was reasonable in assuming that that was a dangerous device. They did that to create the exact scenario that played out. They wanted people to react, and they wanted to portray this kid as an innocent victim. I think he was a pawn of potentially his father. His sister actually claimed that she was suspended. His sister told MSNBC that she was suspended by the same school district for making a bomb threat years ago. Don't know if that's true yet, but she said that in her own words. So there's a vendetta from them, and they're tied, as you mentioned, with CARE. And CARE is Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas tied. They're basically involved in civilization jihad.
There you go. There's your word, civilization jihad. Now, I have a bit of standing in this area because I have read all of the books, the Milestone book. You remember when I used to hang out with the Jewish handlers, the Jewish lesbians in Los Angeles?
Yeah.
And, you know, they taught me a lot. And, of course, you have to take their faith and their creed and their background into account.
Yeah, it's like watching RT.
Right, but they also gave me the translated books of Milestones, of Sharia Law, which is it's a crazy book, how you handle a spot on your clothes. If it's a protein spot, you do it this way. I mean, really down to small minutia. So this is, as far as I can tell from the research that I've done, it's true that his sister, who is the one who took the pictures of him with his handcuffs on, that she was indeed suspended from school for being involved in a bomb threat. And if it wasn't true, you would expect there to be a lawsuit or, you know, everyone up in arms, but there's nothing to be found about that. So I'm thinking the sister is probably complicit in this, and she's much older than the kid. Now let's get the backstory that you haven't heard from the mayor of Irving on the Glenn Beck Show.
I have heard that he was not working with a police department, that okay. They had asked him some questions, and that he was very non-responsive, very dismissive, passive-aggressive. When I first read the article, I was first made aware of the situation Wednesday morning. And the first thing I did, and it was early Wednesday morning, was call our chief, was call our city manager, was call a number of people within the school district and get answers to those questions, because I read it and I thought, okay, how can you arrest a 14-year-old? Why would you put handcuffs on him? Those are the first questions that I was asking to myself. And then you start listening to the answers and you start realizing, okay, this is one side of the story, but the other side of the story is not coming out. Now, I don't know if it's just because the reporter didn't ask, find out, but I will tell you that right now the school district is put in a really bad position because the child is a minor, and as a juvenile, they cannot release those records. The school district a number of times has asked the family to release the records so that you can have the balanced story out there. The family is ignoring the request from the ISD. It would help to describe why it progressed as it did. It's nobody's going to walk in and say, oh, you're a 14-year-old child, you're totally cooperating. We have all the answers we need. Let's arrest you. He was not asked to bring this project in. If you look at the breakdown in the demographic of this high school, less than 10% of the students are Caucasian that go to the school. Less than 10%. So the idea that it was white privilege or that there was a jump to conclusion just did not exist. We would like to assume, fortunately, I would like to assume, and I have good reason because I know a lot of the teachers and I know every school board member very well, that this would happen regardless of which student it was. The teacher was reacting to the device. The teacher did not know which student had the device. She was reacting to the device, not to the student.
So the kid was non-cooperative, and the parents won't release the... They won't allow the release of the details of what happened. So this other side of the story is not coming out. And
yeah, this is an outrageous scam.
Wait until you hear this part from the mayor.
Well, I know that we had the school and the city each had meetings with the family on Tuesday. The family canceled. They were rescheduled for Wednesday at 2:40. They were supposed to meet with the school district. They didn't. They were just no-shows. At 3:30 on Wednesday, they were supposed to meet with our police chief. I was going to be at that meeting. And at the exact same time that they were supposed to be meeting with us, they were on their front lawn with a press conference. We have tried to reach out to the family a number of times. And this, by the way, was before it ever even hit the papers on Wednesday. The child was arrested on, the teenager was arrested on Monday. On Tuesday, there was a meeting scheduled. We were told that it was canceled. They rescheduled it for Wednesday, bringing care representatives with them. And again, no-showed.
And now, if you read the reports, the family is, before going to visit President Barack Obama at the White House to show off his cool clock, the family is going to Mecca to participate in the Hajj. So they didn't take a meeting with the cops, with the school district, with the mayor, with anybody. Yes, scam of epic proportion. And what's interesting is the timing of President Obama's cool clock kid tweet.
We never even got a call from anybody from the White House asking to verify any of that information. In fact, I don't even think the picture of the hoax bomb was released before he tweeted out cool clock kid.
Ah, now this is bothersome to me. Was the president somehow involved in this? Did he have some form of prior notice? Or everyone assumes that at POTUS is manned by the president. Well, let's just assume it's not. Was it Valerie Jarrett?
This is a Valerie Jarrett.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Valerie Susan Rice.
Mm-hmm.
Botch of the same sort that where they presented Bergdahl.
Yep.
Hairy father and mom with the president shaking hands and congratulating the son for being a hero.
Yep.
A moment. It's the same thing. This is just a. So I don't believe that the president was involved. I think he's got these handlers that are just a-holes trying to exploit the situation because they're racists.
But they were exploiting it before the world had even seen the cool clock pictures. Yes. Kicker of this story
although they do jump to conclusions constantly. Remember when they had the beard guy, the arrested professor? They did the same kind of thing where the.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Damn
oh,
the
yeah.
police department.
Yep.
While the case was still under and you know it brings up the follow-up.
Well, hold on. I have one more. This is my kicker. Bill Maher, I gotta say, not bad.
A 14-year-old was arrested for doing a sign.
That, by the way, is Jorge Ramos, who's on the same show, and he's defending it. Oh, he was arrested because of the color of his skin, and the whole panel's like, no, and it's not true because we know that this school had only 10% Caucasian population. So Jorge Ramos is a dick, and he's on the wrong side of this argument. But I don't know if he felt like he had to bite in and hold on to it because he did, and he sounded like a total douchebag. Everyone was saying, no, man, you've got the facts wrong.
A 14-year-old was arrested for doing a science project.
It wasn't a science project, right?
Right.
He should not have been arrested, but he should have opened his mouth and had a conversation about it. He should have said, this is not a bomb.
He was arrested, and they took him off in cuffs and then put him in a cage and burned him. Oh, no, that's ISIS who does that.
No, you know what?
We put a kid after school for a couple of hours. This is not the end of the world. But you know what? The end of the world does happen all over the world for millions of Muslims who are the victims of other Muslims, of their religion. Where are the liberals on this? You know what? There's a Saudi who is right now, he was arrested. His name is Ali Muhammad Al-Nim, or in NIMR. I don't know how you pronounce that.
Notice this stupid Obama bot audience laughing. Oh, you can't pronounce the name. That shows how racist you are, you dicks.
He was arrested for being at an anti-government rally a few years ago. Today, he lost his final legal appeal to not be crucified. So they're going to crucify him. Okay. Crucify him and then behead him in case the crucifixion didn't work. So if you haven't used up all your heroism hashtagging for the clock kid, maybe do it for this guy. There he is.
Yeah. As a young kid, it's like a 17-year-old kid who's going to be crucified and beheaded by the country now heading up the United Nations Council on Human Rights. Good work. So I
was looking at the tweets.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
The stupid people on Twitter are just out of control with this clock kid.
Yeah.
And then there's a picture going around, which I will put in the next newsletter. Make sure you subscribe, of the clock kid with all the gifts that he got from Microsoft and other companies.
Oh yeah.
He's got a table full of all kinds of cool shit.
Nice.
And he's got his two thumbs up, and that's, you know.
And the kid, he's clearly brilliant, which means usually on the spectrum, just to give you some, to show you, that this kid is malleable, and all I hear him is, I love the support, all my followers, so many tweets, all the Facebook likes. The kid is, it's like giving him candy, virtual candy every day. He's Pavlovian. It's like, oh my God, this is great. And then meanwhile, his sister, related to the Council on American Islamic Relations, is whispering, here's what you do. And and she's been involved in crap like this. If you read Milestones, I really don't like being this guy, but shit, the civilization jihad, there's something to it. It cannot be overlooked. And mind you, in Texas, there are 150 charter schools run by Fethullah Gulen, the Harmony Schools, where who knows what they're doing in there.